Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The only thing better than pizza is a great deal on pizza. And with Marco's, you get double the pizza and something for everyone. A large one-topping pizza with that perfectly golden crust and a saucy, cheesy pizza bowl without the crust. Plus, you get pizza's tasty sidekick, fresh baked cheesy bread, all for just $21.99. Seriously, what could be better than that? To see more deals and order, visit Marco's.com. Marco's. Pizza lovers get it.
And a good Friday morning to you, Braves fans. As always, I'm Kevin McAlpin, Truist reporter for The Fan and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network, and we are glad to have you with us for a Friday morning version of the Frozen Rope Report. We got lots to get to over the course of our show here this morning. In just a couple of minutes, we'll get you up to speed on anything you may have missed from yesterday's win. 3-2 was your final in Washington, D.C., as the Braves swept the Nationals right out of their own backyard. They're coming home off a 3-3 road trip, and they're getting set for the Philadelphia Phillies, who roll into town for the weekend in front of 40,000 plus here at Truist Park. Boy, that feels good to say. Full capacity for the Braves here in homestand number 3. So we'll get you up to speed on the National Series. We'll look ahead to the Phillies. Of course, as we do every single day, we'll take you inside the Braves clubhouse to hear from Brian Snitker, Drew Smyly, who had a good one yesterday, as well as his battery mate, Jeff Mathis, as well. And like we do each and every day, we will have the very latest on this date in baseball history as well. Folks, want to remind you, that weekend getaway you've been thinking about, well, it's calling your name. And our friends at Audi Atlanta, they're going to help you make the most out of your adventures. Now, whether you're heading out to a ball game, maybe you're headed to the ballpark this weekend, a camping trip with the family, or even a romantic getaway, you can do it in style with the athletic 2021 Audi Q7. Get behind the wheel of this luxurious 7-passenger SUV and lease it for only $536 per month at my dealership of choice, Audi Atlanta. With a legendary Quattro all-wheel drive, ample cargo space, and dynamic performance on the road, you'll be well-equipped for the journey ahead. So go big and go bold and take it for a test drive and let the good folks at Audi Atlanta treat you to a first-class car buying experience. Stop by their showroom on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter, or if you prefer, shop from the comfort of home using the Jim Ellis Expressway. Visit AudiAtlanta.com to get started. While the Braves, they got on the charter last night after a 3-2 win in Washington in a game that was started by Drew Smyly, and he had his finest outing in a Brave uniform to this point. 6-plus innings, one unearned run was all he would allow in yesterday's game. That was a run that scored in the 4th inning as Kyle Schwarber doubled to right field. But that was it, and Smyly was good. 4 walks, 4 strikeouts, 4 base hits, 98 pitches, 59 strikes. Smyly picks up his first win in a Brave uniform. Offensively behind him, not a whole lot to talk about. Marcelo Ozuna, an RBI double in the 4th, and then a 2-run single from Eddie Adrianza in the 4th inning. Adrianza getting the start at 3rd base yesterday. Austin Riley sliding over to 1st. A day off for Freddie Freeman, who's really been scuffling here lately. The numbers aren't pretty for Freddie. He was just 1-for-20 on the road trip. He's currently stuck in an 0-for-16 and a 1-for-25 since that game where he struck out against his buddy Anthony Rizzo right here at Truist Park. I think it's purely coincidental. No, I'm not worried about one at-bat against a position player messing with Freddie's timing to this point. I mean, it's a stretch he's going through. He's having a rough go. I think Freddie's going to be just fine. I'm not overly concerned, but a chance to clear his head a little bit, get a day off, get back into town, and hopefully start a hit streak here tonight and start looking like the Freddie Freeman we've all grown accustomed to seeing all these years. So again, that's really all there is from an offensive side of things. Braves scored 3 runs on 4 hits. Nationals have to be kicking themselves. Boy, they were dreadful with runners in scoring position this series. They were 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position in yesterday's loss. They had opportunities, but credit to the bullpen. They came up with some big outs yesterday. Grant Dayton, probably the biggest two of all when he punched out Schwarber and Robles on a pitch pitch that never was a strike, but Robles rung up by the home plate umpire Nick Marley yesterday. That ended the eighth inning. That would have been a bases-loaded situation with the Braves holding a one-run lead. Instead, it was the end of the inning. Will Smith works around a leadoff double in the ninth, got Turner to fly out, punched out Yadiel Hernandez, and then Josh Harrison flew out to right field to end the ballgame. 3-2 was your final. Smiley won it. Lester lost it, and the seventh save in as many chances for Will Smith in yesterday's contest. So it was a happy flight back to Atlanta. Braves have won three in a row, and they'll get a chance to take their crack at the first-place Phillies here starting tonight. Yeah, that's right, first-place Phillies. Phillies have been a bit of a surprise. They have not played consistently, though. They're just 17-15 on the season. Braves are a game and a half back at 15-16, so a chance to get back to 500 for the Braves here tonight. Philly has struggled on the road. They've been really good at Citizens Bank Park. 13-6 at home, just 4-9 on the road. And if Philly wants to be a postseason contender, a legit team that has a chance in October, well, they're going to need to find ways to win on the road. And hopefully that does not happen here in Atlanta. Hey, speaking of winning on the road, Braves with those three wins, they're now 5-1 this season against their rivals from the nation's capital. They have outscored Washington 28-18. So again, that's a look at some of the postgame notes from yesterday's ballgame. And again, you turn the page, you move on, and you get set for the Phillies, and we'll talk about them a little bit later on in our show. News from around Major League Baseball, not a whole lot that really stood out yesterday. Sort of a quiet day. The Astros got past the Yankees 7-4 in the Bronx. Phillies a 2-0 win over the Brewers in South Philadelphia. Tigers struggles continue as they fall to the Red Sox 12-9 at Fenway Park. The Tigers, I looked this up last night, Detroit, here we are on May the 7th. The Tigers are 9-23. Now, I don't think anybody expected a whole lot out of them, but just 9-23. Been a rough go there in Detroit this season. Mets got past the Cardinals 4-1 at Busch Stadium yesterday. Taijuan Walker was really good. One unearned run over seven innings worth of work as the Mets are now back to 500 on the season. They're 13-13. Toronto all over the A's at the Coliseum yesterday. 10-4 was your final in that one. Marlins over the Diamondbacks 3-1 in South Florida. And then, of course, the big story from yesterday, Albert Pujols designated for assignment by the Anaheim Angels. I don't know if his career comes to an end. He wants to keep playing. We'll see if anybody picks him up. I don't know, really. I mean, he says he wants to keep playing. I don't know where there's a spot for him. Domino did bring up a good one on the pregame show yesterday. What about the Tampa Bay Rays? Could that be a landing spot? Or maybe, how about the Kansas City Royals? Could be another intriguing team. I think the only place he ends up is in an American League city. I don't know, you know, again, what's going to happen with Albert Pujols. Certainly just an absolutely terrific career. So we'll see where he ends up, if it is anywhere. Looking at his numbers, I mean, the numbers are all over the board. I mean, three MVP awards, 10-time All-Star. He won a couple of World Series with the St. Louis Cardinals. Batting title for Albert Pujols, that was in the, let's see, season was a batting title. That was in 2003, season that saw him hit 359 with 51 doubles, 43 homers, 124 RBIs. Finished as the runner-up in the MVP voting back in 2003, but again, he did get a couple of them under his belt. He finished as the runner-up to Barry Bonds, who won the MVP in 2003. As far as his numbers go, 667 home runs. This is wild. 667 home runs, 669 career doubles, 2,112 RBI. He will be first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no question about it. But I think Angel fans, I'm curious what Angel fans will think about the Albert Pujols career when all is said and done. He spent the last 10 years as a member of the Angels organization. Only got to the playoffs once, and that was in 2014. I think Angel fans really, you know, expected more when they brought him in. You know, I think they expected this to be a team that would get to the postseason year in and year out. I hope we're not saying the same thing about Mike Trout when his career does come to an end, and there's still a long way to go in Mike Trout's career. But again, I think that's a guy that baseball needs guys like Mike Trout in the playoffs, don't you think? I mean, you're trying to grow the game, you're trying to expand interest around the country and get both coasts involved, and I think the Angels would certainly be a team that would be fun to follow in the postseason. They got to figure out a way to get there first. They need pitching. They just don't have the pitching. out there in Southern California. They've got the offense. They can swing the bats, but they're just 13-16. They are 2.5 games back of Oakland. They're in last place in the American League West with still 5 months to go in the regular season. So we'll see what ends up happening with Albert Pujols. Regardless of what happens, a tip of the cap to an absolutely terrific career. I know a lot of you were saying, well, what, maybe the Cardinals bring him back. I don't think that's going to happen. There's really nowhere for him to play. So I think the only landing spot, logical landing spot, would be an American League team. And again, Tampa and Kansas City, if I had to put votes on it, though, those would probably be the two most likely spots that he could end up. All right, we're going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we'll take you inside the clubhouse to hear from Brian Snitker, Drew Smyly, and Jeff Mathis. We will also take a peek at this date in baseball history. Lots more to get to, and we are glad to have you with us on a Friday morning.
Follow the Podcast Park on social media for live updates as new episodes hit and behind-the-scenes looks at all our shows. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Podcast Park.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
We continue with a Friday edition of the Frozen Rope Report. As always, I'm your buddy Kevin McAlpin, Truest reporter for The Fan and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. Braves and Phillies tonight, Charlie Morton taking on Zach Eflin. It's a 7:20 first pitch. We're on the air at 6:05 p.m. Eastern with the Ford Leadoff Show. Domino and yours truly will get you set for all of the action here tonight at Truist Park. Cannot wait to be in the building with all of you tonight as 40-plus thousand will pack Truist Park for the first time since the end of the 2019 season. All right, we're going to take you inside the clubhouse now. Let's first hear from Snit, get his thoughts on Drew Smyly and what he saw from his ball club yesterday in a 3-2 win. Here is the skipper following yesterday's completed sweep of the Washington Nationals.
Drew said he wanted to rewrite the script last part. Do you feel like he took the right step here today?
Absolutely. Thought it was, you know, really good. Curveball was better, but this way he went about the whole thing. I thought it was a lot sharper, and he did just that.
How valuable is it to have Mathis back there, a guy like that?
Now, I told him last night after the game, I was like, you know, I told him, I want you to take a crack at him. And cause I know, you know, William's doing a great job, but you know, with the guy with that experience, and he's not going to get shook, and he had some unbelievable blocks today. I thought it was a pretty good fit for today.
But those are probably the biggest outs that Grant Dayton has got this year, would you?
Yeah, no, I mean, those are unbelievable, you know, and a credit to him. He hadn't pitched in a while, you know, to stay sharp and to come into that situation and do what he did is just, you know, hats off to him, because that's really, like I say, he hadn't been out there in a while. And you know, all them guys, just we were, you know, a hit away from having that thing go south on us, and they all stepped up, man. It was pretty good.
Yeah, Will Smith gives up that leadoff double and not much room for error at all and gets out of it.
No. So I said, there were some really good blocks there. I mean, that was a big, obviously, big strikeout where they had to get a two-out hit. You know, he's throwing the ball really good. But the whole bullpen, them guys, like I say, they just picked each other up, and that was really, really big.
Snit, you always say that no win is an easy win, or some of them a lot more difficult than others in terms of stress level.
What's your first clue?
What do you have in
that cup? Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, last night, today, those were tough games to win. I mean, there was a lot of gut-wrenching moments in those. And it's fun. You know, you get going, it's kind of – it's fun, you know, obviously, when you come out on top. But, I mean, there was a lot of big, you know, mentor last night. all the guys that came in today and how they kind of handed it off to each other. And those are tough.
How about completing a sweep and then getting the big hits in that inning today from Ozuna, who's had a pretty good week.
Really good week. Big AD. I mean, really big at bat right there. Just, not leave, to get both of them in and not, you're looking for one right there even. And that was a really good at bat. He's got some really big RBIs for us this year.
So, Snit, tomorrow you guys back home. First time you'll have what could be a full crowd at Truist Park in, what, a year and a half? How are you looking forward to that?
Oh, so very much. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be rocking. I guarantee you people are going to be excited. We're coming in a good time to have that. So it'll be, I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of energy and be a lot of fun.
Well, Snit really liked what he saw from Drew Smyly, and rightfully so. 6-plus innings, 1 unearned run, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 4 Ks. And here is Smyly as he looks back on his first win in a Brave uniform.
Drew, you said you wanted to rewrite the script. How good does it feel to turn things around that quickly 5 days later?
Feels pretty good, man. It feels pretty good just to be able to celebrate with your teammates and help them win a ball game. It's never easy to win a major league game. Never easy. We play 162, so you just have to stay even keeled and keep going. It's a grind physically and emotionally. There's so many highs and lows in this game and streaks and slumps, and definitely feels good just to get back in the winning circle and then help these guys win.
Is it easier at this point in your career to maybe avoid having the season kind of fall apart on you, to have this after those first few bad starts, to be able to come back like this and get it turned around like this?
I've been here before. It stinks when you get off into a bad start in April, because then it's just like, that's all there is to go off of. But most players at some point in the season, they're going to have a really bad month and hopefully some really good months. The day after I pitched last, it turned May 1st, I think. And I was like, that's just forget about it. April was nothing to even think about. Let's just get better and keep trying to move forward. And that's how I think about it right now. It's a new month, every game's a new game. It's a new day to get better. There's still a lot of work to do. I know I can continue to improve quite a bit, but it feels good to battle and grind out a solid game.
How about having Mathis behind the plate today? Did that help? And how was your guys' pitch selection? Were you on the same page?
Yeah, Mathis is awesome. I worked with him in Texas in 2019, so I had a little bit of history with him. I call him the captain, honestly. He doesn't like that nickname, but he's been around so long, and he's been catching for like 14, 15 years in major leagues now. He's really easy to work with. He knows what you got going that day, and he knows what the hitter's trying to do. And he's so good back there. You feel so confident when he's behind the plate. We all miss Travis, but having him back there and helping Contreras, develop, I think that's going to be really good for him.
I heard you tell D-Row and Scott that early on your curveball was pretty good, and just kind of as it went on, you kind of had a battle. What do you think may have been the biggest difference today, as compared to the other days, other than you did leave, kept the ball in the ballpark?
Yeah, honestly, that might be it. Just It's easy to say, oh, you gave up 3 homers this game and none this game. Congratulations, but baseball's. I executed pitches. I know I had good life on my fastball. I made pitches when I needed to, when guys were on base, to bear down and make a quality pitch and get out that inning, which I haven't really done well in the past. But it's such a game of inches, man. Like, the defense made some great plays behind me. Sometimes all it takes is one swing to change the game for either side of the team. And, we had that 3-run inning early on in the fourth, and that was the difference. But like I said, I know there's still a lot to get to improve on and get better. my curveball more consistent. It was really good early. I had two quick strikeouts to start the game, and then it kind of vanished. And then I don't think I threw hardly any for a strike in like the third and fourth inning. And then the fifth and sixth, I threw like every one for a strike, and it's much better. So that's a great positive moving forward, just to make that in-game adjustment and know that if something goes a little haywire, just get back to what you do. I didn't throw a ton of cutters today, but the action on it was really good. And that's what I've been working on a lot in between starts. So there's definitely a lot of positives, and you just try to keep trying to improve, go back to the drawing table tomorrow and get ready for the next start.
Any last ones for Drew? Go ahead.
What's the energy like in the clubhouse? You're getting the sweep coming home, and you're playing in front of now a full crowd, 100% at Truist Park, which for pretty much everyone, you haven't done in almost 2 years.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. That's going to be an exciting vibe to see. I think everyone's excited for that. Anytime you get a sweep and win on a getaway day, it's a happy flight, and everyone's excited, and we're going back home. And like you said, it's going to be the first time any of us has seen a packed ballpark and since 2019. So I know the energy is going to be high, and hopefully we have a nice little homestand and get going.
From Smiley to his battery mate, Jeff Mathis, newcomer. He has obviously been added to the roster in the last few days with the loss of both Alex Jackson and Travis d'Arnaud. He was 0-for-3 at the plate, but he did a nice job working with Smiley yesterday. And here is the veteran backstop as he assesses the Braves' 3-2 win yesterday.
Hey, Jeff, what's the key today to getting a guy Drew turned around after a couple of rough starts to begin the season?
I thought he had really good fastball command today. I know him and Cranny were working on some things and some bullpen sessions that I think really paid off today, especially with his heater. And then he was able to find his curveball a little deeper into the game, and that was a really good mix for him.
Jeff, you had some history with him in Texas. Were you able to lean on that experience or anything you saw in the video over the first four or five starts of the season?
Yeah, I mean, definitely helps to know him, you know, previously. You know, I mean, he's a competitor. Like I said, finding the fastball, being able to get ahead of guys is something that you always want to do. And I just really commend him today on being able to drive that thing in there, getting ahead of guys, being able to mix the curveball in the later innings. It just was a really good mix for us.
He says being called the captain.
I don't like it. Those guys started that over there, and I don't know. I'm not very comfortable with that.
he started it, you're saying, or?
I can't actually remember who started it, but he definitely helped them run with it.
I got you. And that was in Texas in 2019?
Yeah.
How good is it just to feel to be with, you know, a team like this, you know, here near the end of your career, to be able to influence, you know, some of the younger guys and a veteran like Drew?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you know, didn't really know what this year was going to entail, but thankful for the opportunity. You know, never exciting when teammates go down, you know, Travis and Alex, but thankful I was in the position here and able to get another opportunity.
What have you thought about Contreras and the time that you spent with him so far?
I've been impressed. Very athletic. Everything that I was hearing, you know, I'm seeing. Really good at bats and handling the staff too, which is, you know, obviously very important. So I've been very impressed with him.
Did the team show you something with the resilience, you know, coming back from that disheartening sweep against the Blue Jays to sweep the Nats like this?
Yeah, this was a big series for sure. I mean, it was tough down there in Dunedin. I didn't play our best ball, but to come here and sweep these guys and play the ball we did, you know, these three games was huge.
So there's Jeff Mathis. Also appreciate Drew Smiley and Brian Snitker's time as well after yesterday's contest. All right, time now to take a look at this date in baseball history. A couple of ones here for you. It was on this date in 1917, May the 7th of 1917. Babe Ruth outduels Walter Johnson in a 1-0 victory over the Senators at Griffith Stadium. The game's lone run would score on an 8th inning sac fly tie, hit by Babe Ruth, rather, who will turn out to be a pretty good hitter in his own right, along with a pretty darn good pitcher as well. So on this date in 1917, Babe Ruth over Walter Johnson in Washington, D.C. All right, it was also on this date in, what was I looking at? I was looking at these this morning. I'm trying to scroll through. In 1959, in an exhibition game played at the L.A. Coliseum to benefit Roy Campanella, the Yankees defeated the Dodgers 6-2. The crowd drew the largest crowd ever for a baseball game. Get this, folks. 93,103 fans packed the L.A. Coliseum, with about another 15,000 turned away from the sellout. And it's that iconic moment where Pee Wee Reese pushes out Roy Campanella in the wheelchair in a darkened stadium that was only lit up by fans who were holding candles or matches. It's a tremendous moment in baseball history. If you haven't seen it, look it up. Roy Campanella night at the LA Coliseum on this date in 1959. All right, it was also on this date in 1991, Darryl Strawberry returns to New York, this time as a Dodger with mixed results. A crowd of almost 50,000, mostly booing fans, watches him hit a two-run homer, and then they cheer when he makes the last out of the game. Shocker. A little Bronx cheer in Queens for Darryl Strawberry, who ends up, the Mets end up winning the game 6-5 on this date in 1991. All right, it was also on this date in 1999, in the biggest comeback in Jacobs Field history, the Indians score 18 runs in the final three innings and overcome a 9-1 deficit to beat the Rays 20-11. Fred McGriff sets a major league record by homering in his 34th ballpark. And you want to talk about overcoming a big deficit? Tip of the cap to Max and the boys and the Thunder last night. They were down by a bunch early on in their first playoff game. They scored 17 runs in the final three innings. Max was 5-for-5, 4 ribbies, 4 runs scored as the Thunder win and advance in the postseason 25-24. It was not for the faint of heart last night, but it was a walk-off win for the Thunder, and I got there for the final two innings of the ballgame and could not be more proud of Max and the boys. They'll play again tomorrow morning. I promised you a Thunder update, and you get it right here on the Frozen Rope Report. Well, as always, we appreciate you tuning in. I hope you all have a great Friday. We will talk to you at 6:05 Eastern for the Ford Leadoff Show. Braves and Phillies tonight at 7:20. Charlie Morton on the mound for Atlanta, taking on Zach Eflin and the Phillies. Philadelphia has struggled on the road. We'll see if that trend continues here tonight as they open up a 3-game series against the first-place Phils.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.